Welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission. Give me one second because I have the wrong agenda in front of me. Anyway, the Florida Building Commission's meeting of the, concurrently of the Code Administration Fire and Plumbing Technical Advisory Meetings of May 8th. And I still want to get the right document up anyway, the Code Administration. That's the reason it's not right, it's because it's in the wrong folder.
Dr. Issa, we can see your email is up now rather than the presentation.
Right. Oh, well. Anyway, for some reason I duplicated one and threw the other away. That's why it's not coming up properly. All right. Irrespective of that, let's remember about our process, which is be aware of background noise. Keep your devices on mute. Don't put your phone on hold. Please wait to speak until invited. And please state your name each time speaking and tag members when making and seconding motions. All right, we're going to convene first the Code Administration, then the Fire, then the Plumbing Tax. We'll get each one to approve the agenda in the previous meeting's minutes. And once we have all that in place, then I'll explain the process. But first, I'm going to start with the Code Admin Tax to determine that we do have a quorum. Commissioner Brown?
I'm here.
Bob Boyer? All right, Shane Gerwig?
Here.
Michael Verasio?
Here.
Commissioner Marker?
Here.
Good. Kyle Sawchuk?
Here.
I got a flyer, even like Jared got one.
All right, Kyle. Commissioner Schock?
Here.
Commissioner Tolbert?
Here.
All right, so the only person we seem to be missing is Bob Boyer, unless you joined, Bob.
I've just joined.
Great. So we have
I didn't hear Isaac Kovner, but I'm in attendance.
You're on the plumbing tax, though, Isaac. I haven't touched that yet.
Oh, this is the plumbing?
Oh. It is plumbing. We've got three tacks concurrently, and right now I'm just putting the Code Administration tack.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so that's okay. So for Code Administration tack, Mr. Chairman, if you wanted to do the agenda in the minutes, that's fine. If you want me to do it, that's fine. We'll go from there.
Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. So the Code Administration tack, you're task today, as the other tax, is to approve the agenda and the minutes from the April 5th meeting, as well as to review and accept the interim draft report of the research project title evaluation of the cost, impact, and benefit, the 2024 I-code changes, the prescriptive changes. Is there a motion by name to approve the agenda as posted, please?
Schock, move approval.
Second, Warrior Parker.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Unless there's any revisions or corrections to the April 5th, 2024 meeting minutes, is there a motion to accept those as they were posted by name?
Schock, accept.
All right, Schock and Boyer respectively. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, our Code Admin Tech is officially in session. We'll now go to our Fire Tech. Commissioner Shepard.
All right.
Chris Atari. Folks, please go to our background noise.
Sorry, I had to unmute myself.
Sure, no problem. Hamid Fahadori.
I'm here, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning, Hamid. Joe Belcher.
Here.
Douglas Carter.
Here.
And I understand that Elijah Flowers will not be here today. I'll just test that. Elijah, are you here? Okay. Shane Gerwig?
Here.
Very good. Commissioner Gross?
I'm here, Jeff.
Very good, Jeff. Commissioner Marker?
I'm here.
Very good.
I got it.
I know. Commissioner Marrero?
Here.
And Peter Schwab.
Here.
All right, FireTech has and members constituting quorum. Today's agenda is to approve the minutes from the February 22nd meeting, as well as to accept the interim draft report on the cost impact and benefit of 2024 I-codes prescriptive. Is there a motion by name to approve the agenda?
Schiffer will move it.
Second. For the motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Unanimous. Unless there's any revisions or corrections to the February 22nd, 2024 minutes, I look for a motion to accept those minutes as posted by name.
Gerwig, move for approval.
Schwab, second.
Motion and a second by Gerwig and Schwab, respectively. Any discussion? Nope. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, the fire tax is now also officially convened, and now we'll go to our plumbing tax. Commissioner Schilling.
Yeah, good morning, Beth. I'm here.
Good. Commissioner Batts. Bob Boyer.
I'm here.
Just as an aside, Asa, it appears that you've gone to your desktop and are no longer sharing your presentation, so hopefully you can get it back on. Gary Duran?
Here.
Eduardo Gonzalez? Isaac Kovner?
Here.
Okay. Gary Kazan?
Here.
Commissioner Langille? All right. Stephen Mayfield.
Here.
Jack Mastravic.
Here.
Brian Rickard. I see you're waving is here, correct? Yes, all right. Let me check one more time. Commissioner Batts or Eduardo Gonzalez, or either of you here? All right. Plumbing TAC has 9 members present. So today's agenda is to approve the February 21st meeting minutes, as well as the research project report on the cost and impact benefits of the 2024 I-code changes prescriptive. Is there a motion by name, please, to approve the
current move approval?
Warrior, second.
I have a motion and a second for approval of the agenda. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Unless there's any corrections or revisions to the February 21st, 2024 meeting minutes, is there a motion to accept those as posted by name, please?
Sure. Move the minutes.
Second, Warrior.
We have a motion and a second for approval. Is there any questions or discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That's unanimous. The plumbing TAC is now convened. All 3 TACs are convened. Let me just do a couple other little things. I think from the PBPR, we would have Alan Burke, Robert Benbow, Sabrina Evans, Jim Hammers, Loma Donnie, Chip Sellers, and Justin Vogel, and myself, Jeff Blair, the Commission's facilitator. Okay, so we're going to move right into the substantive aspect of our meeting today. So the procedure will be Dr. Ray Issa of the University of Florida will provide a summary of the report's key findings. You'll have an opportunity to ask questions of the report. I do want to remind everybody that this is a cost, impact, and benefit analysis only, and comments on the actual changes should be deferred to the TAC meetings when the TAC will take these ICO changes up in September and October of this year. That's the time to discuss any substance of this stuff. This is merely the comparison and the analysis, and so the questions and the comments should be directed only to that component of it. We'll take any public comment, and the TAC will make a motion to accept the interim draft report. With that, I understand that we have some presentations that are going to be specific to, in this case, some of the fire TAC and the plumbing TAC. I think what we'll ask, though, is for a motion from all 3 TACs one by one at the end to approve those changes, the analysis in the interim draft report. Mo, would you like to provide that sort of an introduction?
Yeah, good morning. This is Mo Magani. The research project that's on the agenda for review, this is something we have done every time, we are in the process of updating the Florida Building Code. As you know, we are in the process of updating the current Florida Building Code, the 2023, for the 2026 update. And as part of the update is to mainly we review the code changes to the latest edition of the model code, in this case the international codes. What really Dr. Issa's project is mainly to review those iCode changes and provide qualitative or quantitative assessments of their of which one is impactful, meaning that which one will incur additional cost to construction. So, any question? Otherwise, go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you, Mo. All right, Dr. Issa, I'm not sure which one you're going to start with, but there's a fire and plumbing, and then we have our code admin TAC. In the end, we'll ask Eves to just accept the report. So, please go ahead and start.
I don't even see him.
Ray, we're not hearing you if you're speaking. We're seeing your presentation, but we're not hearing any audio.
Okay. There was
music. There we go.
Okay.
Right. We can hear you now, but your presentation is all up. Oh, there we are.
There we go. So that's the research team. Like Mo said, our mission was to assess the cost impact of the prescriptive building code changes. And this is a statement of work as far as looking at the iCode and the NEC changes, coming up with a cost analysis of the prescriptive changes, and then applying those to 7 model buildings. We did that, and these are some of the assumptions we made. And they're all in the document that was given to you earlier. So if we look at the international plumbing code changes, piece 821 talks about the soil in which the plumbing is under the slab, and that would add, depending on the type of soil you may have, it would add $5 per square foot for protection of the pipes. If you have to haul in sand or whatever, soil is adequate, then you don't have to do that. P921 is tracer wire in the ditches where you put the plumbing, and that would add $15 per linear foot plus one circuit per 150 linear foot. The number required plumbing fixtures in table 403.1 in terms of indoor and outdoor pools that reduces the cost by $4,000 per structure that you don't have to install. 1421 talks about the drainage and vent vacuum test. So it introduces cheaper pipe pressure testing alternatives that is an option now. So that may reduce your cost. P32-21 was deleted. That's no cost impact. As far as soap dispensers are concerned, public laboratories are required to have soap dispensers, and the cost depends on the type of soap dispenser you select. Location of full open valves, and that change adds a 3-story height limit on multi-tenant buildings requiring main shutoff valve for each tenant, and the decreasing cost of $750 per shutoff location. Design and installation of piping, the pocket support allows you to use different type of materials, and that could reduce the cost by 35% for the supports. And FG721 talks about faculty built cremation surfaces. By the way, this is the international IFGC, and that adds a 7% total material cost to cremation furnaces and incinerators. So those are the cost impacts of changes in the IPC and the IFGC. Are there any questions?
Anybody have any questions regarding this component of the report? Is there anybody from the public that wishes to comment on this part of it? Okay. Then I guess if the plumbing tech wishes to adjourn, we could ask them to accept that portion. Or if you want to hear the other two, then we'll just get a motion each for the overall report. Is there any, Brad, do you have any thoughts on whether TAC wants to stay and hear the rest of it?
Well, I think that's okay. Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yes.
Yes. But I think it's up to the individuals. You know, if we just want to, you know, adjourn the plumbing part of this, you know, I think that's fine with me. It's up, like I said, it's up to the individuals if they want to continue on the call.
Mr. Chairman, Gary Duran, I will move that we accept the report.
Alright, is there a second?
Kozan, second.
We have a motion and a second from the Plumbing Tech to accept the interim draft report on the evaluation of the cost impacts and benefits of 2024 ICO changes prescriptive. Any discussion? Plumbing Tech members, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Mr. Chairman, you may adjourn the Plumbing Tech by stating we stand adjourned.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jeff, and thanks for all who attended today. We appreciate it, and unless there's any further discussion or any comments, I rule this meeting as adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Okay, Ray, I think we're going to go to the fire now. Is that correct?
Correct. So that's the fire code. Code changes related to fire. I have with me Kristen Winninger. She's the engineer for Coughlin Associates that subcontracted this. G32-21 talks about the modified lithium ion batteries, and that cuts the cost by $100 per gross square foot. G32-21-186-21 part 2. Energy storage systems and equipment containers, lithium ion again, that cuts the cost by $100 gross square foot. G36-21-F192-21, a maximum allowable quantity for flammable gas, is now further broken down by class 1A-1B. That cuts the cost by $50 per gross square foot. G41-21, buildings or structures containing materials with deflagration hazard, including category 1A, etc., that cuts the cost by $50 per gross square foot. C41-21, buildings or structures containing materials that readily support combustion or pose a physical hazard, that cuts the cost by $50 per square foot. We have storage again of lithium ion under G32-21, that cuts the cost by $100 per gross square foot. G57-21, requirements for buildings 420 feet or less, and buildings more than 420 feet, it changes the requirement to cut the cost of $35 per gross square foot. G59-21, it adds references for stairway communications to be listed in accordance with UL 2525 and installed in accordance with FDA 72. That adds $2,000 per story. A G79-21 exception added for situations requiring proscenium wall in type 1 buildings, and that cut the cost by $1,000 per linear foot per story. The standpipe system section in G85-21 was removed standpipe section, and that cut the cost for $25,000. Standpipe exception, G86-21 part 1, exception to comply with a special amusement section, and the proposal rooms provided with a means of egress that's unlocked readily and that file always available, and cuts it for, by $25 per gross square foot. F192-21 give permissions for exceeding maximum allowable quantity without classifying the building slash occupancy as Group H. That cuts the cost by $100 per gross square foot. F192-21 added maximum allowable quantity table for low burning velocity category 1B flammable gas in Group M and S occupancy. That cut the cost by $100 per gross square foot. G93-21, no J added it to the table of division 1.4 explosive. Cut the cost by $100 per gross square foot. F196-21, no K added to the table for flammable gas deflagration systems to cut the cost by $50 per gross square foot. G93-21, no E added to the table for division 1.4 explosive. And that cut the cost by $100 per square foot. G96-21, new requirements to provide for design occupancy capacity for storm shelters for critical emergency operations at $25 per gross square foot. The same G96-21 added new requirements to provide for locations for storm shelters for critical emergency operations in regards to the building they serve. That added $50 per gross square foot. G94-21 and G97-21 removed required occupant load is no longer required to meet occupant load of the largest indoor assembly space. That cut the cost by $50 per gross square foot. G123-21 exception added stating the thermal barriers are not required on top of horizontal assemblies serving as occupancy separations. That cut the cost by $10 per gross square foot per story. G126-21 part 2 and was modified so fire protection requirements section changed the distinction between IRC and IVC constructed live slash work units. That cut the cost by $25 per gross square foot. G123-21 added exceptions stating thermal barriers not required for top. That cut the cost by $10 per gross square foot per story. G132-21 and 130-21 modified 510.2. Condition 5 has changed to be inclusive of all Group A occupancies, and that cuts the cost by $50 per gross square foot on Group A. G147-21, the section was written to increase the allowable percentage of unprotected portions of mass timber ceiling and walls less than or equal to 100% and less than or equal to 40% respectively. That cuts the cost by $10 per gross square foot of surface. G148-21 was rewritten to specify mass timber walls and ceilings are limited to percentages of floor area in dwelling unit within the story or fire area within the story. That adds about $10 per square foot of surface. FS18-21 section addresses the continuity requirements, the exterior wall ratings that cuts by $10 per gross square foot of exterior wall impacted. FS29-21 added section address discrepancy where NFPA 221 does not provide required fire resistance rating. That cuts $1,000 per linear foot per story. FS49-21 exception added addressing lay-in ceiling systems in Group 1-2 occupancies meeting the requirements of this section. That cut by $50 per gross square foot of wall surface area above ceiling. FS64-21 exception 4 permits penetrations, concrete floors or ramps in parking garages, structures where penetrations between levels of parking areas. That cut the cost by $200 per penetration per level. Added exception 4 permits penetrations in single concrete floor by several types of pipes, tubes, conduits, and vents less than 6 inches in diameter. Does not require a T rating. That adds $25 per penetration per story. F75-21 added exception to not require an approved perimeter fire containment system for boys and floors with a single dwelling unit, floors and ramps and parking garages, structures, and mezzanine floors. That cut the cost by $50 per linear foot. S91-21 allows permission for duct and group I2 and I3 occupancies to penetrate up to 3 floors without a fire damper provided. It meets the criteria of this section. That cut the cost by $200 per penetration per story. FS-106-21 changes minimum density for insulation, providing 15-minute fire rating, cut by $5 for gross square foot of assembly. F-66-21 add a section specifying an automatic sprinkler system must be installed to draw the air for research and development or testing lithium ion or lithium metal batteries. That adds about $5 per square foot of area requiring sprinkler. Added group F1, FS66-21 also added a group F1 facilities involved with lithium ion, and those are at $5 per square foot of area requiring sprinklers, and $50,000 for incoming service, and $100,000 fire pump. And that's similar for automatic sprinkler systems required for Group M and Group S1 facilities. F73-21 modify the language to require visual alarm devices where audible is currently required. Water flow devices and supervision devices must be powered by FACU or fire alarm system. That cuts the cost by $500. G85-21 stand fire alarm required on stages, platforms, technical production areas. That cut the cost by $25,000 for stand five. FB121 added language to require class 1 standpipe hose connections of exterior stairways. It was reintroduced after being deleted in the 2015 edition of the IBC. It adds $5,000 per stairway for standpipe. F86-21 added new exceptions for Group A manual fire alarm systems, including Group A5 where conditions are met, and temporary Group A5 where conditions are met. And that has $5 per gross square foot of Group A5, was $10,000 for FACP, and $2,000 GATS. Fire F88-21, fire alarm systems activated by heat or air sampling is required in areas used for research and development lithium ion lithium metal batteries. It has $5 per gross square foot of area protected, $10,000 for air sampling panel, and $10,000 for FACC and heat. Is there fire alarm sensing for fire alarm system activated by air sampling systems? You have the same fire alarm system activated by heat or air sampling required in occupancy M systems and in group S occupancy. You have the same cost. Okay. As well as in Group S, public and self-storage occupancy, 3 stores or more for interior corridors in common areas, you have to install the same thing. FS-112-21, mechanical ventilation alternatives removed from the code. It's rarely used, so there is really a $0 saving. FS-115-21, added provision requiring smoke detection and pressurized air vestibule. Alternative design method. Fan system must be equipped with smoke detector automatic shutdown system. That adds $500 for fan. FS-118-21 activation elevator pressurization system no longer required to activate upon the building fire alarm system. That cuts the cost of $5,000 for elevator. Exception for Group S, Group F, and Group U occupancies not normally occupied do not require carbon monoxide detector. You add a carbon monoxide detector at $250 per detector. Sections on location of CO detection restructure with intent to require CO2 detection anywhere a carbon monoxide producing device is present. that adds a 250 per CO detector. The section on alarms for CO detection or structure was intended to require anywhere. Same thing, F-105-21 group E occupancies and more than 500 occupant load require a risk analysis in accordance with FPA 72 determined need for mass notification to add the cost of $5,000 for analysis. G-59-21 language added requires two-way communication system to be listed according to UL 425 and installed according to FPA 72. That's $8,500 per panel. E-39-21 side door exceptions removed for revolving doors, power operation door, and walk-in freezer and cooler doors. That cuts it by $500 per location. E-48-21 exception 2 no longer is inclusive of electronically locked doors in accordance with section 1010.2.12 central release door. That adds $1,000 per door. E-60-21 language added to exclude group R2 occupancies required to be accessible or type 8 dwelling or sleeping units from the exception. That adds $1,000 per stair flight. E-69-21 exception started stating low-level exit signs are not required in group R1 occupancies equipped throughout with automatic sprinkler system. That cuts the cost by $250 per sign. E-73-21 modified language to clarify the code section intent to exclude dwelling units required to be accessible or type A dwelling or sleeping units from the list of exceptions. That cuts $100 per landing. G-106-21 Part 2 has a language requiring guards for perimeter occupiable roofs. That adds $100 per linear foot. E-86-21 increased allowance of 300 feet exit access travel distance in Group H occupancy following Section 1017.2.3. And that cuts $5 per gross square foot of Group H 5 area. E-96-21 added item A structural elements such as beams or joists supporting a roof. The top of an interior stair ramp are permitted penetrations into an interior exit stairway. That got $100 per linear foot of stair. Closure perimeter. E-97-21 the section now additionally requires roof assemblies or exterior walls adjacent to interior or stair ramp exclosures. In some cases, it would be 1 hour fire rated with half an hour rated opening, 3/4 of an hour rated opening. That cut that adds $100 per gross square foot of exposing surfaces. E-96-21 added item 7, structural elements such as beams or joists supporting the floor or roof at the top of an exit passageway are permitted penetration into and through a passageway. So that cuts $100 a linear foot of exit passageway. Enclosure perimeter, E-105-21, exception 3 for egress courts located at grade and provide direct and unobstructed access to public way through two or more independent paths. That cuts at $500 per opening. And that's all the changes in the cost impact. We've been looking at models after this, doing the costing. This is the future work. Do you have any questions?
Our TAC members, do you have any questions regarding the analysis? Go ahead, Joe.
I'm just curious. What I've downloaded doesn't have any of these costs, any of the numbers. Is that going to be in the final report?
Yes. You downloaded a draft.
Okay. I thought that was the case. I just wanted to make sure.
Right.
Any other questions, TAC members? Alright, is there any public comment on the fire components of this analysis? Alright, well then TAC members, if you'd like.
Just one question, my name.
Are you, from the public then?
A member, yes sir.
Okay, sure, go ahead. State your name and representation, I'll give you, start your time.
Oh, sure thing, yeah, I'll be very brief. My name is Chase Bryan. City of Austin, Texas, just working on a little bit of cost impact assessment. And so appreciate the work that Dr. Rice has done here. Is there a sense of the cumulative positive impact of these code changes at this point, or you mentioned you still do some modeling.
We're in the process of doing this right here.
Okay.
A sample of different buildings.
Wonderful. And I'm just curious, when do you expect to finish the final report?
By the middle of next month.
Lovely. All right. Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Anybody else in the public wish to comment? All right. Fire tech members, unless you have any other discussion or questions, is there look for a motion to accept the interim draft report on the evaluation of cost impact and benefit of 2024 I-code changes prescriptive? Is there a motion by name, please?
Schiffer will move it.
All right. Is there a second?
Gerwig, second.
All right. We have a motion and a second from Schiffer and Gerwig, respectively. Unless there's any discussion or questions, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Ray, do you have anything else to go over at this time? Guess not. Okay, code administration TAC, coming to you, unless you have any questions or comments. If you do, feel free. If not, we look for a motion to accept the interim draft report of the evaluation of the cost, impact, and benefit of the 2024 I-code changes prescriptive. I think, Commissioner Brown, you might have been speaking, but you're muted.
I would move to approve the report.
I'll second, Boyer.
All right, we have a motion and a second from Commissioner Brown and Bob Boyer, respectively. Is there any discussion? Hearing none then, in the code admin TAC, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. If, Brad, if you would just say we stand adjourned for the fire TAC.
Okay. The fire TAC stands adjourned.
Great. And Commissioner Brown, the same for you for the code admin TAC.
No other business to be done, we will stand adjourned.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. This